The last time I spoke, me and Sharon and Kim, or somebody was discussing this. We talked about some things about the created universe and the vastness of outer space and the distances between planets and stars and so on. It your mind once you get to looking into the numbers and the, you know, the things that that they have come up with as far as, you know, the vastness of the universe that God has created. And I want to expand on that a little bit tonight. And before I do that, before I do the expansion part, I'm going to read just a little bit in Genesis. And we're going to talk a little bit about three different views of creation, or of the universe, the known universe, life, you know, stuff like that. First of all, let's look at Genesis chapter 1 real quick. We'll just read a few verses there. I just want to begin with the Genesis and creation story in Genesis. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Now, I don't know how some people think about evening and morning, you know, being the first day, but in my vocabulary, in my experience of my almost 67 years of life, an evening and a morning makes up one day, one 24-hour day. Some people don't look at it like that, but I do. I think that's as far as we'll read there in Genesis. I just wanted to get us a general ideal of God's process of creation there. I want to look at some numbers and illustrate, hopefully, the magnificence and the sheer, almost unbelievable universe that God has created for us to enjoy. First of all, I'm going to, without getting political, I want to point out something. The national debt stands at approximately $20 trillion. Now, I tried to figure out a way, how can I put that into perspective so that we can understand how large a number that is. And I figured, I come up with the amount of days since God created Adam until now, based on 365 24-hour days a year, times approximately 6,500 years. Now, most people that believes in the Genesis story, you know, that God created everything in six literal days, believes that the age of the earth is somewhere between 6,000 and 6,500 years old. So I use 6,000 years as just a round number. Using that, based on 365 days in a year, Adam was created 2.2 million days ago. And if God had to give Adam enough life to live until January the 1st, 2018, and gave him a printing press that would print dollar bills, and he had started printing $5 million per day, every day, for 2.2 million days, he would still be $9 trillion short of paying off the national debt. How much is $1 trillion? $1 trillion is 1 followed by 12 zeros. I don't even know what the number above $1 trillion is. I used to, but I forgot. But whatever it is, it would be 12 15 zeros, right? I don't know what the technical number of that is anyway. But that is a pretty good example of how much $20 trillion is. But when we're dealing with the vastness of God's universe, we can't even deal with trillions. We have to deal with light years, how far light will travel, traveling at the speed of 700 million miles per hour. How far light would travel in 1 year. So we can't even deal with numbers. It has to be on a different scale. Now, with all of that in mind, I want to look at three different views of the universe and how it came about, how life, you know, the universe and all material in it came about. Three different views. Now, I'm not by any means an expert on this. This is probably a totally different field of study in theology. So I've just got a few things here to throw out that I think would be interesting. First view we're going to look at is the atheistic materialism. That means the absence of God. All material was created from, well, just came about from nothing. Okay, atheistic materialism. Actually, you could say that it just came about accidentally with no creation force at all. They claim that the source of this was, like I said, purely accidental. Time frame, 1 billion years ago. Method, mutations. Purpose, none. No purpose. First man, subhuman ape. First woman, subhuman ape. The view of Genesis, they view it as a total myth. The people that hold to this view, a total myth. Promoters was Darwin and his followers and a handful of others along the way. The reason that they promote this view, they have a total contempt for anything that has God with it or God's word. Total contempt. The problem of this view is three major things. It does not line up with the first law of thermodynamics, which is, I don't understand this completely, but it has to do with the energy required to create something and keep it progressing. Okay. There's the first law of dynamics, and the second law of dynamics, thermodynamics, has to do with the energy depletion. As the energy is used up, the thing begins to wind down, like a clock wound up. When that spring unwinds, the clock eventually stops. Their view is totally against those two laws. The second, or the third thing that is against them is the law of biogenesis, which says that life cannot create itself. Life cannot create itself. Scientists the world over, using laboratory experiments, have claimed that they can create cells in a laboratory dish. But every experiment that they have conducted have been proven that they used some type of cell or life already to add to that laboratory experiment for a cell to generate itself. So their view does not line up with that law of biogenesis. Life cannot create itself. If you remember the little sheep called Dolly, the clone, and I'll talk a little bit about this here in a minute, but Dolly was created not from nothing. Okay, life didn't create itself. It was cloned from the shells or cells of another sheep. Okay, so when they say that they can create life, you know, through cloning, that's false. Can't do that. The second view is theistic evolution. This probably is the most dangerous view of all. It believes in a God. Okay. They believe that the source of all creation is God, but through evolution. Time, 1 billion years. You'll notice that not too much is different between the atheistic view and the theistic evolution view. The method is same as above, just accidental. Purpose, supposedly, to glorify God. They believe that also that the first man was a subhuman ape. as was the first woman. Their view of Genesis is a spiritual allegory, or basically a fairy tale. Okay. At the very most, their view of the Genesis account of creation is a condensed account of millions and millions of years of evolution. Okay. They don't look at the historical fact view of the Genesis creation in 6 days. They don't look at it like that. But they do believe that God created things over a period of millions of years. The reason is they're mistaken about evolution. Their problem is that they can't take God at His word. They can't take Genesis as a literal historical fact. Do they have any scriptural proof? None. Do they have any scientific proof? None. On the other hand, view number three, which is our view, creation view, source, God in 6 literal days, time frame, 6,000 to 6,500 years, purpose, for the glory of God. First man, Adam, first woman, Eve. Their view, our view of Genesis is historical fact. The proponent, or those who Moses is the proponent of Genesis and is the writer of the first 5 books of the Bible. And the reason for this view is based entirely upon the Word of God. It also has many scientific proofs, evidence all over the world. The scripture basically confirms itself in many places throughout the Bible. And we hold this view because we believe that God did create the earth and all life in it in 6 literal days. There was a researcher that asked the professors of 9 different prominent colleges around the world the question, is the morning and evening mentioned in Genesis a literal 24-hour day, or would it be 6 ages, or could it be either one according to the preference? You know, if someone said, wanted to say, well, God created everything within 6 ages represented by 6 24-hour days. Would that be okay? And then he said, or would it be actually a literal 24-hour day, morning and evening? 9 universities, the professors at 9 universities was asked this. The universities was Oxford, Cambridge, London, Harvard, Yale, Columbia, Toronto, McGill, Manitoba. 9 very prominent universities, very prominent professors that taught at those universities. 7 of 10 replied a 24-hour day. 7 of 10. Based on the language that the Bible was written in, which is what we must go by, you know. If the Bible says an evening and a morning was the first day, I don't know anywhere in history or anybody that would even remotely agree that an evening and a morning would equal 1 million years. So these 9 professors from these colleges, 7 of them said, yes, it means a literal 24-hour day. Okay, we got that out of the way. Let me read some statistics to you here. And we will look at some scripture, by the way. Some statistics that most people don't really know. And a lot of them I didn't know until I learned about them. Light travels at the speed approaching 700 million miles per hour. At that rate, it would take over 100,000 years for a beam of light to reach from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other. That's just one galaxy among billions in the known universe. The known universe, and they've got pretty reliable methods, through mathematics to look at all this stuff. The known universe, they claim, is somewhere between 18 and 20 billion light years from edge to edge. That's the distance that light would travel at the rate of 700 million miles per hour in 20 billion years. Someone once, or a lot of people, ask a question. If the age of the Earth is only around 6,500 years old, what was God doing all those eons before that? Well, I don't know, really, because the Bible isn't clear on that. But I can tell you this, he wasn't bored. He wasn't bored. The Bible says that God created, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, everything. Let's look at, let me see if I can find my notes here on this. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40 real quick. I'm going to try to hurry up a little bit because there's a couple things that I want to point out and get to that I think you'll find extremely interesting. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look about maybe half a dozen verses here. Verse 12 first. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span? Now, I don't know exactly what they would call a span 4,000 years ago, but a span today, as we measure the height of a horse, is from the tip of this finger to the tip of this thumb. Okay, that's how they measure the height of a horse. How many spans? It's the span of a hand from here to here. Now, this verse here says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span? You know, you can go out in a night sky on a dark night and you got to get away from the city, from all the city lights and everything. If you look up, if you go out here right now and stand underneath that light out there and look up at the sky, you might see, you might count maybe 50 stars. But if you go out in the country away from all the lights and look up, you can't count them. But if you hold your hand up like it, you can probably cover a million of them from your sight. I don't know how big God's hand is. I assume since he created us in his own image, probably just about like mine. But that is an indication of the distances that God is dealing with in his created universe. If we can stand here on earth and hold our hand up and cover a million stars with our hand, and each one of those stars might be a trillion miles apart out there in reality. That's it's hard to get your head wrapped around such a creation that God has given us when we think about these things. Verse 13, let's finish verse 12 here. Meeting out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or been his counselor? Hath taught him. Look down at verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath ye not been told, you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Now, I talked a while ago about the question about what was God doing, you know, prior to 6,500 years ago. I would just right off the top of my head say maybe he was spreading out his tent. It's a big tent. It took a lot of spreading to do. But he wasn't bored. Verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? Go out into the night sky and look up and ask yourself, how did all of this come into being? Who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his strength. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. It's hard to imagine trillions of stars and God having a name for every one of them. Every one of them. The Bible speaks of the stars singing. I don't know exactly what that verse is, but the Bible speaks of the stars singing. Do you know out in, I think it's in Arizona, where they have that VLA, very large array of radio telescopes? You know that they can point those things towards certain stars and they put out a distinct radio wave? Every one of them. Every one of them. It's amazing. The stars sing. God knew that a long time before we was ever, even in existence. All right, that's enough of the vastness. I want to get to the smallness. The size of the universe and its largeness is vast beyond our comprehension, but it is also vastly small. Vastly small. Consider this. Everything is made up of atoms. Atoms has three building blocks. Protons and neutrons, which make up the nucleus or the center of the atom. And then electrons, which circle the nucleus, much like the Earth circles around the sun. 25 trillion protons. Now, we talked about that number a while ago, trillion. The national debt being $20 trillion. And if Adam had started printing $5 million a day, until now he would still come up $9 trillion short of the national debt. That's only $20 trillion. 25 trillion protons, those little things that make up the center of the atom. If they was laid end to end, 25 trillion of them would only equal 1 inch. Only equal 1 inch. The space between the electrons and the nucleus. Now remember, the nucleus is the center of the atom. The electrons are those little things that spin around the nucleus. Okay. The space between the electrons and the nucleus is 10,000 times the diameter of the nucleus. You know, if I had a marble, I was going to bring one, I forgot. I had a marble here to show you. And that marble represented the nucleus of an atom. And the electrons were spinning around it. Those electrons would be 10,000 times the diameter of that marble away from it. Everything else in between there is empty space. Now, if there's that much empty space, why can't we push our finger through an object? Because the force holding that atom together is equal to 4 billion tons per square inch. Now, if the Earth's gravity had the same force, it would squeeze everything on it to an invisibility. What about the human body? The human body is an amazing thing. You cut yourself and it'll heal in just a matter of days. It was designed to heal itself. It was designed to ward off diseases and germs and so on. Consider this, cells make up all human life, even the smallest, tiniest insects that crawls on the earth contains millions and millions of cells. In an adult, average adult male body, there's approximately 75 trillion cells. 75 trillion cells. Each cell contains as many as 200 trillion groups of atoms, called, I can't even remember my own words here, protein molecules, called protein molecules. Now, I'm by no means, you know, I learned a lot of this in the last couple of weeks. The largest of those protein molecules is called the DNA. This is amazing. I mean, this is just boggles your mind. Each DNA strand is 6 feet long. Now remember, we're talking about something inside of a cell that you cannot see with your naked eye. You have to have a pretty powerful microscope to see this stuff. Each DNA strand is 6 feet long. All the DNA strands in the body, if they were bunched together, they would be about the size of an ice cube. But if they were unwound and laid end to end, they would stretch from the earth to the sun and back 400 times. Now, how they come up with this, I don't know. I don't know. But I know that the human body is unbelievably intricate in its design. It is unbelievably intricate. And every cell contains the same information. Out of 75 trillion cells in the human body, every cell contains the same DNA information. Now, we've heard a lot in the last few years about decoding the DNA, you know, and all that, which I think they finally did. But decoding something and understanding it is two different things. If the DNA code were put into English, it would fill a 1,000 volume encyclopedia. When the cell duplicates itself, you know, all cells separate and duplicate themselves. That's how babies grow in their mother's womb and eventually become a full-grown baby and born and grow into a full-grown human being. That process takes about, depending on, you know, how a person matures and grows, 18 years and 9 months to 20 years, okay, to become full grown. Some of them are still growing. But the unwinding rate of the DNA strand, you know, I'm sure we've all seen pictures of how the strand is like a double helix, if you take a ladder and then grab each end of it and twist it, that's how a DNA strand looks. Now, as they unwind, the unwinding process is the process of creating new cells. They unwind at the rate of 75 turns per second. That is about the same speed as an electric motor turning 3,600 revolutions per minute. So you can understand how that enough cells can be regenerated in 9 months to have a baby born. Beginning with one cell in the mother's womb. As those DNA strands unwind at that rate, those cells are generated at an unbelievable speed. Go back to the first illustration that I used with the national debt. Adam printing $5 million a day for 6,000 years, and he only printed approximately $11 trillion. In 6,000 years. But in about 18 years, the human body generates over 75 trillion cells. It's hard to get your head wrapped around this kind of stuff. Not only that, I'm just about finished here. Not only that, but each cell duplicates itself perfectly into a new cell, so accurate that it would be like one letter being misprinted in an entire set of Encyclopedia Britannica. Now consider that, 75 trillion cells in the human body, and the accuracy of duplication of those cells is less than the same as having one letter misprinted in an entire volume of Encyclopedia Britannica. All of these things is meant to illustrate the magnificence of God's creation. The mind of God is, according to the Bible, is impossible to know. It's impossible to know. Someone once said that man's universe is unknown and unknowable. Not only the vastness of space, if we could start out from Earth on a spaceship traveling at the speed of light, and we could procreate independent journey, our great 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 and on and on and on grandchildren would never see the end of the journey. And the way the cells duplicate itself exactly, time after time after time. There was a guy, a millionaire, and this is just a story to illustrate a fact. Met two young boys that was good friends, and the millionaire asked one young boy, he said, "I've got a question to ask you." He said, "Would you rather me give you $1 million right now, or give you a penny, a nice new shiny penny, and then double it every day for 30 days?" And the young boy looked at him and said, "Well, man, that's a crazy question. No brainer. I'll take $1 million right now. Who wants a bright shiny penny?" So he turned to his friend and said, "Well, what would you rather do? You want me to give you $1 million, or would you take a bright shiny penny now and have it double every day for 30 days?" Young boy said, "I like bright shiny money, so I just take the bright shiny penny and you can double it every day for 30 days. That'd be fine." So 30 days passed. The millionaire came back and asked the first boy, said, "Well, how do you like having your $1 million? He said, "That's fine." He said, "I put every dime of it in the bank and I'm going to leave it there." Asked the next little boy, said, "How'd you like your penny?" He said, "Man, that penny worked out great. I'm going to put my $5 million in the bank." That is kind of the way that God has made the cells in the human body to multiply exponentially. That's what it's called, exponential multiplication. The little boy didn't understand that fact, that accepted the first $1 million. But the second little boy, he did. That third, at one penny multiplied exponentially into over $5 million in 30 days. Kind of explains how that the human body can generate itself into a full-grown human being in just 18 years, but Adam couldn't print $20 trillion in 6,000 years. It's amazing. All right, there's a whole lot more to cover, but we're out of time, and it would take too long. All right, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got something out of it. Like I say, it was not meant as a physics lesson, but a lesson in how magnificent God's creation is. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to spend together. We thank you for your precious word and the fact, Lord, that you have created such a marvelous and wondrous universe for us. We pray, God, that we would always look to you and give you the honor and the glory that you deserve. And God, we might live in a way, Father, that would show others what a magnificent and wonderful God that we have. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.